I think about a meeting like this, all of us have, we enjoy it. We come here and it's kind of a controlled environment, you might say, where we have, it's controlled basically what we do. We don't have a lot of internet service. We're not on Facebook. We're not surfing the internet. We're not doing a whole lot of things like that that we do, not going to work. We come to at a time like this and we are focused on worshiping the Lord. We go through services from the beginning of the day, from prayer meeting service all the way to the end of the night. And the Lord gives us something here. It's not just that we come here out of a tradition that we have, and it's something that we, out of nostalgia, that we come here and have our services. But I believe the Lord blesses us when we meet together. I believe that there is an honesty in the people of God. I believe that there is a purity in the people of God, and God has something for us. Now, the thing is, when we go back home, things are going to change. We're going to have duties. We're not going to be in three services a day. We're going to have, at best, most of us, maybe three services a week. And a good majority of us that are here today don't even go to those three services a week, right? There are some of us, a majority of us do, but there are some that don't have an opportunity for whatever reason to go to three services a week. What are you going to do then? And the thought that the Lord put on my heart to talk to us about is, hold your ground. There's some ground that the Lord has given you in these kinds of meetings. Whenever we meet together, the Lord gives us ground. Maybe there are some things that we have dealt with, some things that we were considering, and we're wanting the Lord to give us a level of victory in certain areas of our lives, and the Lord's given us that, maybe at the altar work, maybe through the meetings, the messages that we've heard, and the Lord's given us that ground, and our responsibility is to stand our ground, not allow the enemy to take it away. I want us to turn to the second Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and I want to start reading in the 8th verse. If you have it, I'd like to ask someone to help us read, please. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Tachmonite, that sat in the seat. Yes.
The Esnite, he lifted up his spear.
He lifted up his spear and slew 800.
Whom he slew at one time.
Now, I want to take this in consideration. These are the mighty men that were with David. These are men that went through something. These are men that fought some battles, all right? Continue.
And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo.
Son of Dodo.
The Ahoite.
Yes.
One of the three mighty men with David.
Yes.
When they defied the
Philistines.
That were gathered
together.
To battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose.
And smote the Philistines.
Until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword.
And the Lord walked a great victory. So this man was fighting. And what I like to, when I look at this scripture, what I see is that the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, was an extension of who he was. It wasn't something that was separated. It's something that we pick up our salvation, our religion, and the word of God when we're in a battle per se, but it's something that is an extension of who we are. So this man fought the battles, and every one of us will have battles that we'll have to fight. Every one of us, when we go home, we may be fighting battles even as we're here now. But as we go home, we may fight some battles. And let me tell you, the most important thing that we can do is hold on to the word of God. This man fought with the word of God and until his hand clave to the sword. So it was an extension of who he was. All right, continue. The Lord wrought a great victory.
And the people returned after him also to spoil. And after him, Shammah, the son of Agi,
the
Hararite,
yes.
and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. Where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And he slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory.
Now, what I like to look at when I read this scripture, when I see that there was a ground of lentils. And what is lentils? They're what? They're beans. They're food. So here was, and I think that this is important for us to understand, that this man was standing in the midst of a field of lentils. And the rest of the people that were apparently defending this field, they fled. And the Philistines were going to take it. And he said, no, this is my food. This is something that is important to me. This is something that I have to have in order to live. So he defended it. He was going to fight it with everything that he had. And one of the things that the Lord brought to my mind as I was meditating on this is the fact that when you're fighting battles, there's a lot of ways to fight battles. And one way to fight a battle is with a sword, right? Another way to fight with weapons, we'll put it that way. One way to fight a battle is with weapons, but one way to fight a battle is to take and control the food source. So if you can control an army's, a great army, I don't care how big it is, how wonderful it is, if you can control that army's food source and their water source, you can bring them down without any weapon. And so one of the things that the enemy wants to do to us is control our intake of food, spiritual food. So what we have to understand is that this is why we must defend what God has given us. When we come to these kinds of places, when we come and we hear the word of God preached and taught, what do? We eat it in. We hunger and we thirst after righteousness. And if we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then there is something that is wrong. And so what we have to understand is what the enemy is going to do is he's going to try to take our food source. And if he can take our food source, how does he do that? And pray for us. He'll take our food source by in some way contaminating what we believe. All right? It's not necessary that he just takes the food altogether, but if he just puts a question mark behind what you have once believed and what you once stood for, you're not going to partake. If there's something wrong with it, and I see this happening right now, it's not just among the saints, but it's all over the world, where there seems like that the word of God is not nearly as important as it once was. And there is something wrong with the word of God. There is something that this is what is being said. This is what we're being, if you might say, conditioned to believe. That it's not so absolute. There is something a little bit wrong with the way that we have taught down through the years. And if you can find something wrong with the way that we've taught down through the years, you're not going to take all of it in, are you? There, you're going to pick and choose. And so when we get to places like this, what happens is we tend to pick and choose what we eat. Well, I believe what this brother is saying, but I don't believe necessarily he went just a little bit too far. And so therefore, what is coming into our spiritual life and giving us strength, we are not allowing the full essence and the full nutrition, you might say, of our spiritual food. We're not allowing that to take place. And may the Lord help us, because it's a very serious thing. All right? I want to go a little further here, and we'll come back to that point. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Let's start reading at the first verse, if you will, please. If you have it, read it, please.
Therefore,
yes,
thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments.
Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments.
Always.
Hold on, I want to stop right there for a moment. He said that you can keep the commandments of the Lord, his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, for how long? For the 10 days that you're at Monarch. We do that, don't we? For the 10 days that we're at Monarch, the Lord helped me. I went to the altar. I got all the help that I needed at this, and for 10 days, I keep it. And it seems like I have the level of victory that I need, but I'm getting ready to go home. And when I go home, there are going to be some things that I'm going to face. There are going to be some situations that I'm going to have to deal with. And what does it say? Keep his charges for the 10 days or for Sunday morning? No, he said always. All right, read.
And know ye this day.
And know ye this day.
For I speak not,
for I speak
children,
not with your children.
Which have not known.
Which have not known.
And which have not seen.
And which
the
have
chastisement
not seen,
of the Lord your God.
The chastisement of the Lord your God.
His greatness.
His mighty hand.
And his stretched out arm.
And his miracles.
And his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt.
Unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt.
And to all of his land. And what he did unto the army.
Of Egypt,
unto their horses,
unto their chariots,
how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them,
as they pursued after you,
and how the Lord had destroyed them
unto this day. So he's saying, I'm not talking to somebody that does not have the experience of what God has done for them. You have firsthand experience of what God did for you. And he went down through the category of things that had happened and things that had taken place, and the children of Israel saw it firsthand. One of the things that we must do on a regular basis is remember what God has done for us. Sometimes what we want to do and what the enemy wants to do is to cause us to forget about what God has done for us. I appreciate the brother standing up and saying, praise the Lord for what God has done for Sister Marilyn. We need to hear those kinds of things, that God still answers prayer. These little few people that we have here, little humble, holy people, God still hears and answers prayer. And we need to hear that. So we need to remember that always. We're not talking to somebody that doesn't know about what God's blessings are. He's talking to somebody that knows the blessings of the Lord. All right? Read.
5, and what he did unto you in the wilderness.
And what he did unto you
in the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
Until you came unto this place.
Until you came into this place.
And what he did unto
Dathan.
The Abiram. The sons of Eliab.
Yes.
The son of Reuben.
The son of Reuben.
Yes. Opened her mouth and swallowed
the earth opened their mouth. Not only do you know what God has done for the saints, but you know what God has done for people that's turned back. You've watched it. You've seen it happen. And do you know, even while we're watching and we see that happen, there are those that are going to follow in that direction anyway. Lord, have mercy on us. All right, read.
And their households.
And their tents.
And all the substance
that was in their possession.
In the midst of Israel.
But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did.
Therefore, shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it.
And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whether thou goest in to possess it is not the land of Egypt from whence you came out,
where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as in a garden.
So in other words, here are these children, the children of Israel, getting ready to go over into the land of Canaan. They're getting ready to go there. And so he's giving them instruction of what you're to do when you go there. I want you to understand that there are certain things that you're going to have to do as you go into this coming week, into this coming year, until the next time that we come to a meeting like this. There are certain things that you're going to have to do in order to maintain the victories that the Lord has given you while you've been here. In order to hold your ground, one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to maintain the commandments of the Lord. You're going to have to love the Lord. You're going to have to do what you know to do. Living saved is not a hard thing. Sometimes we want to make it much more difficult than it is. All we have to do is to live what we know and live where we are. You don't have to live like the brother that's been saved for 50 years. All you have to do is not sin anymore. All you have to do is when you know that you're in a situation and a circumstance that is not conducive to your salvation, what you have to do is get yourself out of that situation. And you don't just open yourself up to anything and anyone. What you must do is what you've done here. In essence, you chose your friends, didn't you? You didn't just run around with the buddies that you have over there. What you're running around with is saints of God, and it's much easier to live saved when you're running around with other folks that are living saved as well. It's much more difficult when there is a pull that is going in a different direction, and there's this sympathy that you have that you want to go in that direction as well. But God has given you some ground here in this place, and your responsibility is to hold that ground. All right, let's drop down to the 22nd verse and read that, please.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord.
Do you see how he's just reiterating? He's going over and over and over again and telling you simply what to do to have the level of victory. These people are getting ready to go into a battle where the Lord says, I've got an inheritance for you. I've got greater land that I want you to possess. There's more that I want you to do, but in order for you to gain that land, you've got to keep the ground that you already have. You can't keep going back and getting saved every camp meeting or having issues every camp meeting. I know people that come to Monarch and they sit and they go to Monarch and they sit and they go to a lot of the service. Then when they go home, they don't go to church at all. You might see them every now and then when they have an opportunity. Now, listen, I'm not here to badger you. I'm just saying that what the Lord is saying, one of the commandments of the Lord is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which the manner of some is. If you have an opportunity to be in the services of the Lord, I know some of you don't, But if you have the opportunity to be in the service of the Lord, you have a responsibility in order to maintain the victory, the level of victory that the Lord wants you to have. You've got to go to church. Well, I don't get very much out of the services. The singing isn't very good and the preaching isn't very good and all this. Well, that's beside the point. What do you contribute to the service? Your responsibility still is to be and do what the Lord has commanded you to do. And that is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. All right? All right, read.
To love the Lord your God.
To love the Lord your God.
To walk in all his ways.
To walk in all his ways.
And to cleave unto
him. And to cleave unto him. If you do this, you'll hold the ground that you've got. You'll hold the ground that you have. All right?
Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you.
And ye shall possess greater nations.
And mightier than yourselves.
So the Lord is telling you that you're going to have some things that are greater than what you've got now. There are going to be some battles. There's going to be some armies that you're going to come against that are greater than you. Some situations in your life that are greater than you. And you know that. But the thing is, we're not to be afraid of that. God has something greater for you and for me. All right?
Read. Every place.
Every place.
Whereon the
sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours.
From the wilderness and Lebanon,
from the river,
the river Euphrates,
even unto the uttermost sea,
shall be your coast.
There shall no man be able to stand before you,
for the Lord your God
shall lay fear of you
and the dread of you
upon all the land
that ye shall tread upon,
as he has said unto you. So the Lord is going to go before you. The Lord is going to take care of the situations for you. And what we have to do is to trust. Now, one of the things that I, and I probably every minister that is in here can attest to this, and some of us can attest to it as well. Some of the times that we work at the altars, and we know that the Lord has given somebody a level of victory in their soul along a particular line. And because that person fails to maintain that, it seems like they want to stay right in the same area that they've been in for a very long time. Do you know what it is? Some of you are farmers. I'm not so much a farmer. I was a farmer at one time. But do you know what overgrazing is? Tell me what it is. Too many cows and not enough grass. What's going to happen in that situation? The grass is going to disappear and what you eat is going to die. So what the Lord is saying here in this particular situation, remember about the lentils that he defended, there are some times that there are some areas in our lives that we just seem like we want to stay, go around this mountain one more time. And we want to stay right here in this place. But let me tell you, I believe that the Lord has something greater for all of us. I'm not so much a nostalgic person, but I look back over the years and I look back over the ones that have been deep spiritual mentors for us that are gone on. You know what? They're not coming back. Let's turn to Joshua. I want to read the same passage of scripture that brings out this situation. Joshua, the first chapter, I believe, and let's start at the first verse.
Now after the death of Moses,
the servant of the Lord,
it came to pass.
The Lord spake unto Joshua.
Moses' minister.
All right, now hold on. I want us to get a hold of it. It says, now after this is how Joshua starts. The first book, the first sentence in the book of Joshua is, now after the death of Moses. Now what he's telling Joshua is Moses is dead. And Moses is not going to come back. No matter how much you lament about it, no matter how much you're disappointed and wish Moses, the things that we did when Moses was here, Moses is dead. And he is not coming back. You know, some of the old saints are dead and they're not coming back. And the responsibility is now for us, Joshua's, all of us, Joshua's, are going into the land of Canaan, and our responsibility is not to be so nostalgic that we wish that old brother so-and-so was back here. He's not coming back. But what we have to understand is the same God that talked to Moses and old brother Salmons and all the other older brothers and sisters that were here and under this tabernacle, those brother and sisters are not coming back, but their God is with us right now. And our responsibility is to get into a place where we can take their places. Moses wasn't able to go into the land of Canaan, but let me tell you, he couldn't stay wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and get to the land of Canaan at the same time. At some point, you have to say, listen, I've been here before. I've circled this mountain, and I'm not going to go around it anymore. I've been in this wilderness place for 40 years. It's time for me to progress and go forward. I cannot lament over the things that used to be, and I wish how it was. Lord, help me to make the changes that I need to make. Help me to take the ground that I need to have and go forward. The Lord never intended for us to stay right here where we are. And you know what the Lord said? In one place, He said, greater things than I've done, you're going to be able to do greater things than I've done. And how many of us have done that? How many of us have not felt like we've done greater things than what the Lord has done? This is a challenge to me. May the Lord help us to understand that we've got to go forward. We can't stay where we are, all right? Moses, my servant, is dead.
Now therefore, arise.
You get up and you do something. You do something different than what you've done before. Well, I believe it's the responsibility of the ministers. You know what? I used to believe that too. And let me tell you, we have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to lead, but yours is to follow. And you know, our responsibility is not to turn around and say, all right, come on. And then, you know, sometimes we've got to go back, get your hand, and lead you back to where you know the Lord wants you to be. I tell you, and I've probably said it to you here, we do not have the monopoly on spirituality. It is not for the minister to be the most spiritual. Now get a hold of this. It is not, we have this in our mind, that it is the minister's responsibility to be the most spiritual ones in the congregation. That is not true. I'm going to explain that. We don't have a monopoly on it. There is nothing that says, and what tends to happen is the ministers tend to do the consecration and do whatever they need to do to get to the place, the level of spirituality, but I wouldn't mind there being 10 or 12 people that were more spiritual than me in the congregation and me running trying to keep up with them. As I said many times, the only thing that separates a minister from a layperson is the gift that God has given them. Nothing else. Your responsibility is to be just as spiritual as the most spiritual person that you know. Your responsibility is to take the ground that you see that they have. Your responsibility is to come up to that and to stand your ground. If Brother Daryl can do it, or Brother so-and-so, Brother Sammons can do it, you know how I see it? If Brother Sammons can be a good, solid man, do you know what? Brother Daryl can too. And I don't have to be 70 years old in order to get there. When I get there, do I? He wasn't 70 when he got there. He did it one step at a time. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I gotten you. And let me tell you, we're going forward. We're not going back. We're not looking back and saying, oh, all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for me. I'm expecting the Lord to do even greater things for us. But you know what? We're going to have to make some consecrations. We're going to have to go a little bit deeper. We're going to have to change what is in our mind, that our minds are saying that, you know what, I'll probably never be like whatever the most spiritual person that you've ever known. I'll probably never be as spiritual as they were. Why not? Why can't I be more spiritual than they are? Let me tell you, one of the problems that we have in our society today is we get so easily distracted. I think that one of the things that the older saints had is that they didn't have the internet. And they didn't have Facebook, and I know they're glad they didn't have Facebook, even though they don't know that they're glad. You know what? I'm going to tell you something about Facebook. See, there you got me on that. I think it's one of the worst things that's ever been invented. There you go, Brother Daryl. It is. It's not necessarily a good influence, and you've got to be very careful about that thing. Now, am I saying, Brother Daryl, I'm preaching against Facebook? I'm not preaching against it. I had a Facebook profile, and then the Lord showed me better of it. And I've not been on it for 3 years, and I don't miss it not one bit. But one of the things that you have the ability to do that you didn't have the ability, you come to a camp meeting like this, and you just see the people that are here. And you see them, and you see what they're doing, and you see that you're inspired by them, and you're influenced by them as well, right? And then you want to friend them, and you put them on your Facebook, and then you see some things at home that are taking place that you're saying that if that person can be that spiritual in Monarch, then I could probably get away with some of that stuff too. Can I say that? And so now our influence is global. We can be on Facebook with some folks in Germany, some people in Honduras, people in India, people in every state of the Union. And we can have the social media. Now, let me tell you, I believe that there are some good parts. There are some, you can glean some goodness out of it. But I believe it's a very serious thing. And if you are on it, your responsibility, I'm saying this to young people, your responsibility is to be an example of the believers in everything that you do, everything that you post, everything that you say. It is influencing somebody in one way or another, either for the positive or for the negative. And so now your influence, wherever you are, wherever you live, and the things that you choose to do, the things that you choose to put on that Facebook, those things are having an impact on somebody's life. That's either having an impact to draw them closer to the Lord, or maybe making them think, well, maybe all that really isn't necessary. And that's one of the things that the enemy is doing nowadays. So we're distracted. One of the problems that we have is a problem of distraction. We can go and surface on the internet and we can be on there for hours at a time. And then our interests, and so then our interests in spiritual things are not as prevalent because we are eating other things. And so in one sense, this is how the enemy is controlling what we take in. He's still in our time. Yes, he is. And that not only our time, but the things that we partake of. And if we partake of things that are not right, it affects us in some way or another. All right? All right. So here he says here, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, how I see this is that if the Lord did it for them, he sent it to the old-time saints, he sent it to me as well. The same thing, the same ground, the same spiritual depth that the Lord wanted them to have, the Lord wants me to have as well. And he's given me the privilege and the opportunity, as he said to Moses. Remember what he said to Moses? Remember how he did those things? He said, I'm passing it down from Moses to you. Now it's yours. Moses is dead. Now you are the keeper of it. You are responsible for where this gospel goes now because these people aren't coming back. But what you do with it is going to affect more than just you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So in other words, it's not just in one spot. And so what I'd like to encourage us to do today, I'd like to encourage all of us, the Lord wants more out of me. I'll say that me first. The Lord wants more out of me. The Lord wants more out of you. The Lord is saying to us that we have been here and we have been in this place for a space of time and it's been wonderful. We can stand up and we can testify and we can thank the Lord for what he's done for us in this meeting, but tomorrow the meeting is over. What are we going to do then? What's our responsibilities then? Our victory is in our obedience. All right? Now let's go a little further here. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We know that scripture. 10th verse. Read it for us.
Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might.
In the power of the Lord's might.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor of God.
That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
You're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
We're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
But against principalities.
But we're wrestling against principalities.
Against powers.
Against powers.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this
against
world.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Against spiritual wickedness.
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you,
the whole armor of God,
that ye may be able to
that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day.
And having done all,
to stand therefore,
having your loins girt about
with truth,
and having on the blessed
breastplate of righteousness,
and your feet shod
with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith,
wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All right, let's stop for a moment. Finally, my brethren, be strong, not in your own might, but in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just a partial, but we realize that if we're going to put on the whole armor of God, there's going to be some hand-to-hand combat, isn't it? There's going to be some fighting that we're going to have to do. The ground that we gain is not going to be just ground that we that the enemy has easily given up. It is going to be ground that we're going to have to confront the enemy, and we're going to have to take it. All right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We cannot do it on our own. No matter how strong you are, no matter who you are, what you are, you cannot do this on your own. If you're going to have the victory in your soul that you need, it's going to take God to do it for you. It's going to take the Word of God. One of the things that I often see among people, not just young people, but one of the things that I think is very important, the Bible bears it out, you need to spend time every single day with the Lord. You need to wake up praying. You need to go to bed praying. You need to read your scripture every day. If you don't, you're going to have problems. I don't care how old or how young you are. One of the things that I often ask individuals that are having struggles in their spiritual life is, how's your prayer life? Do you take time to read the Word of God? Do you take time? Do you realize that that's what you need in order to fight the battles that you're going to be facing? You need some time to refuel. You need some time to know what the Word of God is saying to you, and how to deal with the situation. You know, every situation that you'll ever be confronted with, it is a solution. Every problem that you'll ever have, the solution is in the Word of God. And sometimes what the Lord wants you to do is to find the solution. And sometimes what our responsibility is to delve into the Word of God. And Lord, what about my situation? Nobody's situation is so unique. Thank you. No one's situation is so unique that they're the only ones that are going through what they're going through. No one's situation. Sometimes people say, well, you just don't understand. You don't understand, Brother Darrell. You don't understand what I'm going through. No, I may not understand, but the Lord understands. I may not know the answers to your problems, and sometimes all I can do with some people is pray for them. All I can do is say, you know what, I don't know what to say about you, say about this situation, but I do know that God knows what to say about it. So if you'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll go to the Lord in prayer with you, then I believe the Lord will do something about that. You know, one of the scriptures that we often say is, any afflicted, what are they supposed to do? Pick up the phone and call the pastor and say, Pastor, you know, I'm going through a hard situation. I'm going through a hard place. It says, let him pray. Our responsibility is to pray. And I often say to the congregation there at home, I say, listen, I shouldn't be praying more than you are about your problems. You know, I have problems. And who do I go to? I have situations that I need the Lord to bless me. And do I go to the congregation and say, congregation, please pray for me because I'm going through something really, really, really hard, and I'm not praying about it. But I'm expecting God to do something because you're praying for me. No, my responsibility is to pray for the problems that I have. Yours is to pray for the problems you have. And ours is to pray one for the other. Lord, help us. All right? Okay, let's deal with this a little bit more. Pray for us and we'll be able to get it out like the Lord wants us to have it. All right? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is going to try to take the ground that you've gained in this meeting. And he's going to do it in any way that he possibly can. And some of the ways that he does it is underhanded. Everything the devil does is underhanded. You know what? The devil pretends to be God all the time. This is why I believe one of the messages that we heard in this meeting is it is important for you to know the voice of God. That is the most important thing. Let me tell you something else. I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago. It is important for you to know that the things that you're doing are according to Scripture, not just because the Church of God teaches it. I say it to our congregation all the time. It is your responsibility. When I have laid out the word, it's your responsibility to go behind me. That's why I give the scripture. Your responsibility to go behind me and seek the Lord to see whether or not the things that I am saying are true according to the word of God. That it's not taken out of context. That is right, that is what it's supposed to be, because you're going to have to stand before God. It did not say that I'm going to stand and have to give an account along with you. I'm going to have to give an account of what I preached and what I taught to you and how I live. But ultimately, it is, he says, well done, thou good and faithful, what? Servant. Is that plural? Servant. So what that means to me is that I am being judged, you're being judged by God individually. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not that, Brother Darrell, I need you up here because you pastored these folks and I need you to speak for them. I'm not going to be speaking for them, and nobody's going to be speaking for me but me. So our responsibility is to make certain that the things that we believe, the things that we teach, are founded on the scripture. It's not just something that somebody has spoon-fed me, and I believe it. Let me tell you, the reason I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just simply because it was handed down to me. I am very grateful. I'm very grateful to God for what he's done for me. I'm very grateful that I was raised in the truth, and I call it the truth. Even though nowadays it seems like there is a certain level of contamination. Well, what is the truth? Is it a set of traditions? Is it a set of doctrines? It is the truth of God's word. You should know whether or not what we teach is according to the word of God. You should know that. It's your responsibility. It's not just your responsibility to take everything anybody says, hook, line, and sinker. Now, let me say this. It is our responsibility to have confidence in those and know the life of those that minister to us. We know their lives. We know their background. We know the things about them, don't we? But it is still our responsibility to delve into the scripture and know that the things that are being taught and the things that are being lived are according to scripture. That's your job. So it's not just the preacher's responsibility, is it? It's the responsibility of us all. Because ultimately, you're going to stand before the Lord for yourself. All right? All right, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is coming. No, it's here. It's here. That you be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you stand your ground. You know, probably over the last few years, I've had more spiritual opposition over the last few years than I probably had over the previous 15. And it seems like the world is getting worse. And it seems like when it says here against the wiles of the devil, one of the things that the devil will try to do is, as I said, he'll try to play God to you. He'll try to be, scripture speaks about speaking lies and hypocrisy. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is someone that pretends to be something that they're not. So the devil is going to come and he's going to speak lies and hypocrisy. He's going to pretend to be God. He's going to present situations and things to you that'll lead you in off on a little bit of a tangent. And if you're not careful, you'll be following this thread when it's not the thread of truth. I want to share something with you that I'm going to say it because I believe that it's, the Lord's bringing it to my mind for me to say it, and I've shared it at other times that I've ministered, but I believe it may help somebody to understand. Sometimes we feel like that preachers don't have the same problems that everybody else has. That they're not faced with the same temptations that everybody else is faced with. We're faced with the same temptations that everybody else is faced with. That's why the Lord gives us the ability to minister to you, because we know it's not something that somebody is telling us, it's something that we know ourselves. I was a very ambitious person, young person. And I had every intentions of going in a completely different direction. I would drop in at Monarch once every 20 years just to see what y'all are doing. But I wouldn't have been here every year. As a matter of fact, what I would say is my intentions were I'm going to be a Christian, but not this kind of a Christian. Because I felt like it was a bit restrictive. Have you ever felt that way? Now, here's a minister up here that's been preaching for 20-something, 30 years almost. And he had the same temptation that some of you are having right now. And I remember my first year in college, the Lord dealt with me, and I was going to go in a certain direction, and the Lord talked to me. I was the only one there in the dorm room, and I was praying for whatever reason. And the Lord began to deal with me and say, if you go down this road, this is what's going to happen. And he showed me a very clear picture of what would happen. And he said, now, if you'll go down this road, he didn't show me what it was going to be like. I had no idea that I was going to be a preacher or that I would deal with the things that I've had to deal with. And he said, if you'll go down this road, it was almost like he said to Abraham, I want you to go into a country and I want you to just trust me. I'm going to lead you in the direction that I want you to go and I want you to just trust me. And so I made a choice at that point that, Lord, I want to go in the direction that you want me to go in. Because ultimately, I see that that's the best thing for me. There are some things that I don't understand. There are some things that I don't really agree with. And I don't know what to do about those. So I wrote them down on a piece of paper, put them in my wallet, and I asked the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to show me these things. I can't do them until you show them to me. You know, the Lord showed me every one of them, maybe except one, that wasn't a conviction. And it was something that I didn't agree with that the church taught. But I agreed that the Lord himself revealed it to me. And then a few years later, I was about 19 years old at that particular time. And the Lord told me shortly after that, I'm going to call you to the ministry. All the things that I was one of those individuals. And bear with me for sharing my testimony here. But I was one of those individuals that when I went to school, I knew exactly what I wanted to be and exactly what I wanted to do. You know, it wasn't this... what do you call it? The first year you're there and you're undeclared. You just take general ed classes, but you don't know what you're going to do, so you're undeclared. I wasn't like that. Never was. I always knew what I wanted. And I was going to get what I wanted until the Lord got a hold of my heart. And the Lord dealt with me. And do you know what? I have no regrets. I have no regrets. He told me shortly thereafter, I'm going to call you to the ministry. It was about 6 years before. It was about 19 when I knew I was going to be a minister, and then it's about 6 years later that I actually started preaching. And I say all of that to say that sometimes people feel that they're the only ones that are going through the things that they're going through. That they're the only ones that have been tempted in a certain way. And I want to share with you also what the Lord gave me when he called me to the ministry. It's the fourth chapter of... See, I had no intention of doing this, but I believe the Lord wants us to... 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. If you have it, read it for us. Yes, fourth chapter, first verse.
Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
That
in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits.
And doctrines of devils. This is why you got to stand your ground. This is why if the enemy can control what you eat, what you take into your spiritual system. If he can control that, he can control a lot about you. You know, a lot of the foods, a lot of the sicknesses that we have are a result of the food that we take in. You know, high blood pressure and diabetes is because of what you eat. If you made a drastic change in your eating right now, some of the sicknesses that we have would be completely reversed. But we have been conditioned to eat certain foods. And if you'll go in certain cultures have certain issues and certain health problems that other cultures don't have. And you know why the reason for that is because of what we eat. So when we partake of certain things, it affects us in certain ways. And so I learned that if you stop eating a lot of meat that's pumped up with hormones and you stop eating a lot of sweets, you know what will happen? Your blood pressure will go down. And you know how I know that? Because I did it. I had a problem. I realized that I had high blood pressure. And then they said, you know what? And you know, I'm one of those country boys. And you're talking about a big steak or pork chop. The best thing. You want to make me happy? Fry me a pork chop. Give me some collard greens. Yeah, some sweet potatoes. macaroni and cheese and cornbread. Don't that sound good? But it'll kill you. It will. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful what you eat. And ain't nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin. But there are some things that you have to refrain from doing because of your condition. So it may not be a sin for me to eat pork chops, but it's not in my best interest to do it if I have high blood pressure, right? So, Brother Darrell, am I going to go around preaching against pork chops? No, but I'm going to go around and telling you what you're partaking into your system is having an adverse effect on you physically, and it's also having an adverse effect on you spiritually. And so what happens is because I was fed that kind of food from a child up, I love that kind of food. And I'm sympathetic to it. If you fry some bacon, it's hard not to eat it, isn't it? So I'm sympathetic to that. But let me tell you, if I'm not around it, it doesn't bother me. And I haven't eaten meat. I've only eaten fish for, I've eaten no meat for a year and a half. Can you believe that? I can hardly believe it. But it's helped me in a physical way. So what I'm telling you is there are some things that we cannot partake of spiritually because it's affecting what we, how we see, how we feel. Our spiritual condition is affecting us because of what we're partaking. So if the enemy can control our food source, lentils are good. It's a good, healthy food, right? But you remember Daniel, when Daniel was at the king and they said, well, we want you to have the king's meat. He says, no, we're not going to eat the king's meat. It was anything wrong with the king's meat? Was it a sin for Daniel to have eaten the king's meat? No, it wasn't a sin. But Daniel knew that it is not in my best interest to partake of everything that they're partaking of. So sometimes we have to refrain from those things. And when what there is this, there is this liberty thing that's going forward nowadays that's saying, you know what? If it's not sin, I can partake of it. Well, pork chops aren't sin. But pork chops can kill me. Because I have high blood pressure, right? And if you're a diabetic and you're going to eat a piece of cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you will die. But is it a sin? Can we say that it's a sin? No, it's not a sin. So what we're saying here, speaking lies and hypocrisy, there are some things that the devil is going to present to you and make you feel that it's all right when it's not in your best interest to do it, spiritually speaking. The ground that you have, and I say to, you know, sometimes you're in a, like, oh, a little piece of meat is not going to hurt you. No, if I eat a piece of meat now, all those chicken, a little turkey, that's not going to hurt you. Well, if I eat a piece of chicken and a piece of turkey, tomorrow I'm going to have a steak. And the next day I'm going to have a pork chop. And I'm going to be eating whatever I want to eat. So the best thing for me to do is to not eat any of it. Just to stay away from it. So in the same way, spiritually, the best thing for us to do is to stay away from something. So it says here, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see that happening today. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Right?
Forbidding to marry. And commanding to abstain from meats
which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. Now this is talking, one of the things that now I am not doing, abstaining from meat for spiritual reasons. All right? It's a physical reason. Abstaining from meat is not going to draw me closer to the Lord. Right? All right? But it has helped my blood pressure to go down. All right?
God has created to be received with thanksgiving
of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Yes.
And nothing to be refused.
Yes.
If it be received with thanksgiving.
For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here. The reason I'm bringing out this scripture is because the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to depart from what they know. Now that can be you and it can be me. None of us are above it. None of us are above it if we're not careful in the way that we maintain our integrity with the Lord. And the reason I brought this out, and just drop down, it says here, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Not everybody is going to hear what we have to say. But one of the things that I know, finishing up my testimony, one of the things that I know is that the doctrine of the Church of God is right.
Amen.
And it's something that'll take us to heaven.
Amen.
And it's not for me, you know, my general nature is I'm ambitious. I'm adventurous, not ambitious. I'm adventurous. And I'll go on a tangent, and that's just me by nature. But when the Lord gives you a revelation and you see it and you understand it in a great way that this is what the Lord's will for your life is, and you follow that, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. You need to know it for yourself. I'm bringing this to an end. Let's go a little further here. Luke 10, verse 19.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents
and scorpions,
and over all the power of the enemy,
and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What I want us to say, the Lord's given us power. He's given us the authority to fight the enemy of our soul. It is our responsibility to make certain that the ground that we've gained in this meeting, that we can hold that ground. That's your job. I don't care how great your pastor is. I don't care how he preaches to you. If you're not there to hear it, it's not going to help you. And it's not the same as hearing it on the internet. There is something that you can give. There is something that the Lord wants you to give in every service. And there is something that he wants you to receive in every service. So one of the things, if we go back to Joshua and the other scriptures, what we find out is he kept reiterating, time and time again, keep the commandments of the Lord. Do the things that you know are right. Do the things that you know to do, and the Lord will bless you the rest of the way. I want to encourage you that way, that the Lord has given you ground. He's every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that has he given you. Don't allow the enemy to come in and contaminate what you believe. The enemy's going to do that. He's going to do it the best, and he's very good at it. He's going to do it any way that he possibly can. He is going to try to contaminate your food source, and if he does that, it's going to affect you spiritually. So listen, there are some things. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Who are the people that you are giving heed to? The individuals that are more important to you that you're, well, I understand, yeah, that's the way you believe, but this is what I see also, and yeah, I understand, and I'm not quite sure which way to go. Let me tell you, you stand for what you know is right. Saints, may the Lord help us. If you know it's right, stand there. Because what I see the devil is doing, there is a seducing spirit that's out there. What is seduction? Seduction is to find a weakness in you, a weakness, maybe a natural weakness. But it's a weakness nonetheless, something that is weak in you, and then he tries to draw you away from that. If you have a natural propensity and won't want to do a particular thing, the devil is going to make certain that that particular thing is presented to you, and he's going to try to draw you in that way. Some folks will never go out into the world. Some folks will never go out into the world and smoke a cigarette, drink beer, be promiscuous. They'll never do that. But they will listen to somebody that is religious. And that religious person will draw them away from God. The ground that they have right now, the ground that the Lord has given you, you stand there. You know that that's your ground, and no one can take it away from you. What did it say that the Lord did? The Lord wrought a great victory. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.